Welcome to the Johns Hopkins University Alumni Virtual Book Club. I'm Jay Lenro, graduate of the class of 1973 and a vice president of the Alumni Council. We are here in the Milton S. Eisenhower Library on the Homewood campus on a sunny fall afternoon, where it is a pleasure to introduce our faculty host, Winston Tabb, Sheridan Dean of University Libraries and Museums. He will discuss this month's selection, Let the Great World Spin, by Colin McCann. As a reminder, today's talk will be available to you on the alumni website and in both as a podcast and in transcribed form as well. Mr. Tabb was named dean in September 2002. Prior to his arrival at Johns Hopkins University, he served at the Library of Congress for 30 years, the last 10 of which he was associate librarian, overseeing cataloging, circulation, the reading rooms, special collections, archives, preservation, and the presentation of digital materials online. As Dean of the Libraries, Dean Tabb directs the integration of new information technologies throughout the university's library, and as head of the University Libraries Council, leads and coordinates Johns Hopkins' entire system of libraries, which includes the world-famous Welsh Medical Library and its satellites, the Mason Library at the NHTSA School of Advanced International Studies in Washington, D.C., the Friedheim Library at the Peabody Conservatory, and the libraries at the Johns Hopkins regional campuses and centers for part-time study in Washington, D.C., Rockville, Maryland, Columbia, Maryland, and downtown Baltimore. He is also director of the Sheridan Libraries, which include the Milton S. Eisenhower Library at the Homewood campus, the George Peabody Library at Mount Vernon Place in Baltimore, the John Work Garrett Library at Evergreen Museum and Library, and the Hutzler Reading Room in Gilman Hall, which was recently totally renovated. As dean of the university's museums, Mr. Tabb is responsible for the Homewood Museum and the Evergreen Museum and Library. The book we will be discussing is a wide-ranging look at the lives of 11 different characters using the famous August 7, 1974 tightrope walk by Frenchman Philippe Petit between the World Trade Center's Twin Towers in Manhattan as a jumping-off point. Colin McCann, the author, is a native Dubliner who weaves the lives of the 11 characters together in ways that show almost every facet of life in New York in the mid-1970s. Please welcome Dean Winston Tabb. Dean Tabb, could you please share with our listeners two passages that you believe are representative of the author's writing and discuss why you chose them?
Well, thank you very much, Jay. I'm very happy to be able to talk about this incredible book. You've just asked, I think, probably the most difficult possible question, which is to suggest only two passages. I'd really be tempted to start at page one and just read all the way through, because
I probably should have asked for 11 passages, one for each of the main characters.
We don't have that much time, but it's really one of the most beautifully written books that I've seen in a long time. So I've just picked two, not exactly at random, but from two different parts of the book that I really like. Would you like me to read from them?
Sure.
All right. Well, the first is from the very beginning. We'll take this as our jumping off point, if you want to say. I'm looking at my book on page five. A charge entered the air all around the watchers, and now that the day had been made official by sirens, there was a chatter among them. Their balance set on edge, their calm fading, and they turned to one another and began to speculate. Would he jump? Would he fall? Would he tiptoe along the ledge? Did he work there? Was he solitary? Was he a decoy? Was he wearing a uniform? Did anyone have binoculars? Perfect strangers touched one another on the elbows. Swear words went between them, and whispers that there'd been a botched robbery, that he was some sort of cat burglar, that he'd taken hostages. He was an Arab, a Jew, a Cypriot, an IRA man, that he was really just a publicity stunt, a corporate scam. Drink more Coca-Cola, eat more Fritos, smoke more Parliaments, spray more Lysol, love more Jesus. Or that he was a protester and was going to hang a slogan. He would slide it from the tower ledge, leave it there to flutter in the breeze, like some giant piece of sky laundry. Nixon out now. Remember Nam, Sam. And so on. I'll stop at that point. It's a fairly long paragraph, but it's one that I really love because I thought it set so well the tone for the whole rest of the book. Not only the style, which I think is extremely important, this draws you in such a way because of the immediacy and the liveliness of the language, the sharpness of the language, but really in a way substantively presaging here this notion of people who have very different swords mingling together, which is, of course, what the whole book is going to be about. You have no idea that that's what's going to happen at number five, but for multiple people looking at one image and coming up with all these different possible explanations of what they might be seeing, that's so true of the human condition in general, but certainly true, of course, of the way this book plays out. So that's the reason I chose that particular one, because I love the language and what it told me that I didn't know was going to be happening, but seemed to be so true after the fact. So that's one. Shall I read another one?
Surely.
If I can see if I could find the...
While you're looking, I'm reminded when I'm in reading the book of the movie Crash that won the Academy Award a number of years ago, which conceptually had the same concept of strangers with very different lives touching each other, and then and having that touch point allow you to leap to the next character, and I wonder if the movie was perhaps influenced by the book or the structure of the film, which seemed to have come later than Mr. McCann's work.
But possibly so. I think though this approach is not all that unusual. I'll talk about that actually in a minute. I'm going to read from the chapter that I love the chapter title, but Miro, Miro on the Wall, because that also I thought was so provocative. I wonder what was coming next. But on my paperback, I'm reading from that chapter on page 104. She steps into the living room and stops, frozen. They are gone. All of them gone. She almost drops the tray. The rattle of the spoons as they slide against the edge. Not a single one there, not even Gloria. How can it be? How do they disappear so suddenly? Like a bad childhood joke, as if they might spring out of the closets any moment, or pop up from behind a sofa, a row of carnival faces to throw water balloons at. What I really loved about this is that it just was so arresting when you're reading this again, not knowing what's going to happen. You really do have that sense that you're in that room and you've invited this odd array of people to come together in your home for the first time. You're feeling somewhat anxious about it because you're of a different class and you don't know what's really going to happen. She's gone in to make this very fancy kind of afternoon tea and she comes out and they're gone. And it seems so plausible that they really would be gone that I almost wanted to stop reading right then, but then I also wanted to know what was happening. I was so relieved when I read on a few more paragraphs and realized that they had just gone upstairs on the roof to look and see what was happening. So this sense of kind of palpable relief made you feel that you were really in that character. This is so true in so many of them. So I guess I said earlier I could have picked probably 11 or more chapters or more passages to read from, but that's what really struck me about the ability of this author to get you into the character so much that you really have this visceral sense that you're in that place and your whole heart stops, just as you can imagine hers was.
What struck me from McCann's writing is his ability to draw a verbal portrait. He is very descriptive of the surroundings in his work. So he really allows you to use your imagination to create a portrait of the characters and their surroundings.
And of everything that you're actually seeing. I think I'll never be able again to see smoke coming out of a chimney without remembering how he described those, looking like a scarf. And think, oh yes, that's often what it is. Never heard that anyone else say that before, but I know I'll never see that again without thinking, oh, there's the scarf of smoke.
Are there any issues that you could single out to readers that they would find interesting to discuss?
Well, I think one of the issues that's particularly interesting to discuss here is not just what it's like to be in a city, of course, but this whole idea of what it means to be alike and to be different. And when so many different characters are brought together, you really begin to focus on this, that we all are so alike in one sense in being human, but also so, so different in the particulars. And what a miracle it is that cities actually can exist and that people coexist there, given that we are so different. So is it the likeness that really makes it possible for people to live in cities, or is it appreciation of the differences, or both? And to really kind of see this, to value how we are different, but also to appreciate how we're alike. That's one of the things that I thought was particularly interesting about this, and the way that the book was structured. So you had to focus on different people, but quite often you were thinking as you were reading how that was like what you had just read.
It's also interesting to note how the characters were shaped by the way New York City was in the mid-70s. Having known New York in the 50s and 60s, It was a different place than it was in the 70s and 80s.
So you really know that from direct experience.
So. And now it's back to more what I remember from my childhood. Uh-huh. But this was a little bit of a darker time for New York.
So, yes.
And perhaps this is more the time of Kitty Genovese and the neighbors not calling the police when they heard screams, where people kind of kept to themselves, which made it all the more interesting to see how, as you pointed out in the first passage you read, these strangers touching elbows and interacting in a way that they really didn't do at that time.
I don't know because I haven't really known New York historically that way. But it would be interesting to see if we had a conversation like this 30 years from now, if we would consider New York now to be light or dark or really, really grim.
Are there any other issues that you think would be good topics for conversation?
Well, I don't know if it's so much an issue. One of the strangest things to me about this, I was reading this book and I kept thinking, what is this reminding me of? And I finally realized it reminded me in astonishing ways of the Canterbury Tales, which I would never really have thought about. But this idea of a kind of a frame tale almost, and having all of these disparate people, not that they were traveling together exactly in the same way, but this kind of beginning of the setting and then all of these different stories brought together in one place made me think, oh, this is like what Canterbury Tales might have been 500 years later. So this is, I don't know if anyone else would ever think of it quite like that, but I'm not a medievalist even. I used to be an English major and do a lot of reading, and that's what I was reminded of, probably more than any other book in reading this. Also the crispness of the language and the very vivid but different kind of characters who were pointed out by Chaucer and then by this author.
That goes back to what your comment earlier, how this book structurally deals with almost that handoff from life to life. Yeah. Of the different characters. And you said, I hadn't considered the Canterbury Tales before, but I can understand the similarities. Are there any other works of literature or movies or things that you see have a similar structure?
That's the one that really that just struck me so much, I think partially because it just was so unexpected and so different in so many ways too, but it was the likeness that really I kept focusing on.
What might the readers be interested in knowing about this book? Something that perhaps at first blush reading it they would not consider.
Well, they certainly should be interested in knowing about the actual event that is at the beginning. I mean, a lot of people may have completely forgotten about what prompted this. And it wasn't actually, I couldn't remember it myself. I was reading that thinking, I was alive, obviously, at that time, reading the paper every day, but something kind of faded from memory. And you think, well, how could you really forget something like that? That would have been such a miracle. Certainly, if you'd seen it, you wouldn't forget, but if it's something you just read about, it's not something that really had really stuck in my mind. The immigrant experience is another aspect of this. It's really very important, something that's still very real as well. This idea about not a melting pot, but really an aggregation of people all in one place that continues now. I think that has a lot of ramifications for and affects our consideration about what's happening now, things like about the controversy over the so-called mosque that's to be built near the World Trade Center. That we are a country that invites so many different kinds of people to come in, and we we need to be able to appreciate them, but to think about what is it like to actually have to live among people who have radically different backgrounds and experience. This makes us still a very real situation for 2010. It's not just about the period that he was writing about.
It's one of those things where it's apparently we don't necessarily always do a good thing at that assimilation or that acceptance. But then again, if you look around, perhaps we do it better than anyone else does.
Oh, absolutely. That's a very good point. We absolutely do.
What types of questions should the readers be asking themselves or each other as they spar online about the book?
Well, I think in a book like this, you always want to be asking yourself about where you see yourself most. This is really a book that makes you think about our life as we are living it now in a country that's like this. So I think one of the things that I was doing in reading through this was thinking through each of the chapters was about how what the person that I was reading about, it was the main focus, it was like myself and how it was different. And this whole idea of reading, and reading, particularly reading fiction, is really all about making one live yourself into another person's life, but it's also feeding back into how does seeing how other people live affect the way you not only live yourself, but think about the way you live and live with others.
It's interesting. Some of the background reading, I found out that the title of the book came from an 1835 poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson. And the name of the poem was Locksley Hall. So I always kind of try to wonder why that was chosen. I'm not familiar with that particular work, but that's something I'm going to...
Yes, I should too. It's been a long time since I read that. I took a course in Tennyson once, but that's been quite a long time, so I can't remember either. Probably has to do a lot with reminiscence, though. So.
And we've talked a lot about the fact that this took place in New York City.
It couldn't have taken place anyplace else, I don't think.
That was my question. You anticipated my question.
No, I really don't see how it's possible. Maybe London, but I don't really think so. It's just the particular array of characters or of people is really, I think, unique to New York. The way that not only who they are, but the way they interact with each other, that very small compass of geography.
I went back and forth between looking at the tightrope walk as a placeholder and then trying to look at it as something more significant than that. What were your thoughts? I mean, did you see that as just something that framed a point in time for the reader or something that was much more integral?
No, I thought it certainly did that frame the point in time. Again, what I kept thinking about was, in my own life, have I had an experience that's anything like that? And I said earlier that I had not even remembered this particular walk. But what I did think about quite often is what it was like when we heard about the assassination of John Kennedy. And this is kind of people of my age, a young graduate student, and you know, exactly where I was, who the people are that I was with and what happened for that next hour or so, something that is as alive as if it happened yesterday. It was 1963. So I think that one of the things that people might want to think about is if they've also had pivotal moments like this. It might not be something like that, but truly you wouldn't forget. But all of us surely have had moments like this that really kind of just divide the world in two, in a sense.
Yeah, I think I've heard it said that for those of us of a certain age, there's not a single person who doesn't remember exactly where they were and what they were doing when they heard about Kennedy's assassination.
I was walking across Harvard Yard, and the bells of Nun Church began to ring. And of course, that was a very special place to be, given that Kennedy had gone there. But everybody had that same experience, no matter where they were.
I was in my seventh grade science class, and somebody knocked on the door, and my teacher went. She walked back into the room with tears coming down. She announced it to the class. It's a very vivid memory. It's more years ago than I care to remember.
Well, I obviously just told you that was much longer ago for me. Same period of time, but I was already older. So.
Is there anything else you'd like to convey to the readers?
Read it.
Read it. Very good.
No, you really will enjoy it.
Well, thank you, Dean Tebb. To our participants, Please note the Dean tab will be posting approximately 6 questions on the website for online discussion during the months of November and December. We invite your participation, and I know there's a lot more that Dean tab can get into based on the questions you pose or the discussions you have to integrate into our online book club. So thank you, Dean.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. This has been very enjoyable. So.